This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. So this morning, I'll be speaking with us briefly on the illusion of growth. The illusion of growth. We expect that every Christian must grow. But that is from our side of reality. God expects every Christian to stay a baby. From the human perspective, we want Christians to grow, because when they grow, they are able to raise other Christians. They are able to teach other Christians the way of the Lord. They are able to become pastors and bishops and general overseers. They are able to count the years of their walk with God and measure how they are doing compared to where they started from. That is growth in our own understanding of it. However, from God's own perspective, we must all remain as a child. Despite the fact that we are growing in grace, in knowledge, in wisdom, we are growing in the understanding of the Holy Ghost, our hearts were meant to remain as a child's heart. The problem here is many believers, as they grow, they tend to want to become adults in the spirit. Adults in the spirit tend to take the form of adults in the flesh. The equal proportion of responsibility, worry, anxiety, all sorts of expectations and unmet burdens of life becomes part of their spirituality. And then, like Jesus Christ said in the parable of the sower, they become thorns and they begin to choke the growth of that Christian. So you see, Christians say, I've been a Christian for 20 years. Look at my life. My mates are now fulfilling destiny. I'm still in one spot. And that means right from when he started, his heart or her heart was not in the right place. You see, a person who remains a child, like Jesus recommended, does not struggle to grow. The reason is, a child is not conscious of the whole world. He is not conscious. He's only conscious of his own immediate environment. He has a very, because it's so small, his world is so small, does not even see other children as a rival or other siblings as people to struggle with, does not measure their growth in accordance with his own growth to see whether they are doing well, whether they are not doing well. He just focuses on himself and mastering life. You see, children master life. They master the human life. It is the one thing they do internally from the moment they were in the womb. They begin to learn how to be human. And you will notice that as long as anybody kept that mindset of mastering life, the person will grow into an adult that will be very successful. Let me put it this way. When we are growing up, There are some people that were growing up in my environment who are very mindful of their age. All they think about is, I'm older than you. You must call me auntie, you must call me brother, you must call me this, you must show me respect. There are some people like that. They want to become adults so quickly. And they want people to begin to bow to them and kowtow to them and respect them and kneel down for them and prostrate for them, because that is they are eager to become an adult. And those people, most of the time, their heads are empty. Why? Because they are so focused on being adults, they couldn't even learn to master the stage of life that they were in at that time. They didn't master 13, they didn't master 14. They didn't master 15. They didn't master 16. Some of them became aware that their lives are failing when they began to fail like. When somebody that was so insistent that you must respect him, or you must call him senior. I remember when I was in secondary school that some people you must put senior before their name. When they repeated and we became mates, that was when they became conscious that, hey, this person is calling me senior. But we are in the same class, because again, they focused on the wrong thing. They wanted to be adults, but they didn't have what it takes to be a child. You must master being a child before you can grow into an adult. They didn't even master being a child. They didn't interact with the environment properly. They couldn't take cognizance of the world around them so that they can master the world around them. Some have absolutely no understanding of their family dynamics. I was talking to somebody and said, I became aware that my father was polygamist when I was in my 20s. I was like, you grew up in that house. You didn't. He said, the second wife was living in our house, but I see her sometime. She would just come with her children. My daddy would greet them. And then sometimes my daddy would stay here. Sometimes he would stay there. But I just thought he went to work. I just thought he traveled. It was later when I was in my 20s. I now realized that, oh, my daddy has a second wife somewhere with children. And it's a polygamous setting. And I was like, you basically don't know yourself. You begin to know yourself at 20. And this is because the eyes are focused on the minor. They didn't look at what it takes to be major. Major is always internal. You build yourself internally before you begin to build yourself externally. And the internal ingredient that a Christian chooses to build himself is of the heart. A contrite heart, a childish heart. A heart that can go wrong, say sorry, and forget about whatever he has done. Let me say that again. A lot of Christians, when I interact with them, when they're talking about the challenges they face in life, they would talk about something they did which they believe was wrong. And I would say, when did you do this thing? They say, maybe it is because of it God is punishing me. Maybe it is because of it my life has not moved forward. Okay, when did you do this thing? You were here 2020, 2015. We are in 2026. That is the heart of an adult. A heart that cannot forgive himself or herself of wrong surely wouldn't be able to forgive others. Because all of us, we are more gracious to ourselves than we are to other people. So the standard that Christ laid for us was that we should, as much as possible, do unto others as we do to ourselves, because he knew that naturally we show ourselves more grace than we show to other people. Several times in counseling, I will talk to either a man or a woman who has done something terrible. The way they would describe what they did to me, but I've been What happened was a mistake. I didn't intend to hurt anybody. It just happened. I traveled, and then I met this person, and then it happened. That's how they will talk about something wrong that they did. Let them talk about the same thing that if their spouse did it, you'll hear, "Oh my God, I will not take it. No." So, you see how you are gracious to yourself. Oh, but you are not gracious to your partner. That is the natural nature of humans. How come that you can now not forgive yourself? A child will do something wrong. You will correct the child. The child will forget about it that instant. If you asked the child 5 minutes ago, "What did you do that made me spank you?" The child will look at you. It is gone. Because the heart of a child that Jesus recommended is a heart that cannot be blighted with wrong. The devil cannot touch that heart. Children are not mindful of the antics of the devil. They do not even recognize that there is a devil. They can see something scary. You can hear them say, "It's scary, it's scary." But until we in our religious state begin to drum into their consciousness that there is a devil, they really don't know any devil. They are not conscious of a devil. They cannot be because it isn't programmed in their consciousness. There are many of us born-again Christians that are so conscious of the devil, we are more conscious of the devil than God. I'm not one of them. I expunged that lie away from my life years ago. I know only one entity. I have given my life to Jesus, and that is all I know. I do not know any other. I do not recognize any other. I do not yield to any other. I do not take cognizance of any other. The Bible says, acknowledging every good thing, acknowledging every good thing. It didn't say acknowledge some good thing, and then what it said, acknowledging every good thing. I acknowledge only Christ. I acknowledge the Holy Ghost. I acknowledge the anointing of the Lord that is in my life. I acknowledge Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. I do not acknowledge any other thing. I chose to be a child. It is a choice. I chose to be it. When I speak, when I think, when I look at myself, when I assess myself, whenever I'm doing anything, be it right or wrong, be it right or wrong. If it is wrong and I realize it is wrong, immediately I turn back from it, I've forgotten about it. I do not give to again. It's gone. And I do the same to other people. I do not hold on to anybody that is in error that changes his or her way. I don't. There is no need. Why? Because the person is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus regardless. That is where the perfection of God comes from. He has extended grace to all of us in such a measure that we cannot abuse it. Imagine that. Imagine somebody giving you such a long rope that no matter how much you run, you cannot outrun that rope. That is where God's perfection came from. That's why we said he's perfect in all of his ways. Because before, while we were yet sinners, Christ has died. When we come into him, he gave us all things for life and godliness. All things. He didn't give us stage by stage. He didn't give us, okay, when you pass from your nepios to this stage, then I give you more. Everything has been given to us. He has given us all things to make us like himself. It's just up to us to master all these stages. As we mature, well, that maturity requires that we keep our hearts as the heart of a child. That you do not see your flaws and allow your flaws to condemn you. Remember how Jesus Christ said, "Neither do I condemn you." Remember that Jesus consistently in his ministrations would not condemn anybody that seem to be caught in the act of wrong. He would correct, he would heal, but he wouldn't condemn. You see the people he was condemning. The people that seems to be fault finders, Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, Sanhedrin, the fault finders were the ones that Jesus was saying, "Woe to you, woe to you," because they were adults. See, they were adults thinking that they were helping God to keep society away from wrongdoing. So they were acting as adults, as spiritual police, as religious police. And Jesus Christ said they are brood of vipers. John the Baptist said they are brood of vipers. Just called Herod fox. He says, see to that, fox Herod. All these people who stand in the position of authority, acting as adults, were the ones that were worthy of condemnation. But a woman caught in adultery was worthy of no condemnation but grace. The woman that was by the well received not condemnation but grace. She was with her sixth man, and that man was not even her husband. And Jesus Christ knew this, and Jesus Christ extended grace. See, you have to understand the heart that can do that is not a religion, it's not a religious heart. It's a heart that can see no fault in other people. You know how children are. That if you don't tell your children, don't play with that person, don't play with that person, children will play with everybody. They do not know enemy. They do not know foe. They don't know color. They will play with black. They will play with white. Was it not when Abuja one time, myself and the noble family, my family and noble family were having dinner at a Turkish restaurant, and the children were with us, and the younger ones, they were just walking in the crowd, and then next thing, one of the daughters went to meet these guys that were having dinner. It was a beautiful moment. I was just laughing. Everybody was just laughing. When we mature, we become conscious of boundaries. We do not try to reach beyond certain class, certain level, certain people. We become conscious of being rejected, of being unwanted, of being unloved. We begin to appropriate all the negative emotions and begin to label them and give them names. You know, as it was after I had grown to a certain age that I began to learn some English. One of them was invalidation of emotion. And somebody would say, "You are invalidating my emotion." Do you know? All my life, I didn't know that was something that was possible. It is your emotion. Why should the third party validate it or invalidate it? Nobody can deny you what you feel because it is your emotion. However, I cannot allow you to pack what you feel into my head. I also have a right to my emotion, either it is validated or not. It's up to me to validate it. Because we don't have childish hearts anymore. We then become adults, and then we want to push our life emotionally in such a manner that all the negative emotion we may feel, we want somebody to be acknowledging it. To what end? So I should sit with you, for example, as an adult, born again Christian, I sit with you and say, "I acknowledge that you are angry. I acknowledge that you are jealous. I acknowledge that you are envious." What am I? What are the things I just mentioned? Were they not supposed to have died in you? Were they not fruits of the flesh? Were they not fruits of the flesh? Did the Bible not said that these things should not be in you? Was it not clearly written that these things that you are saying people should validate, that people should acknowledge, that people should respect that you are feeling, that you are not even supposed to feel them at all? Yet you are telling Christians to validate it. Acknowledge that you wronged me. Acknowledge it. All I want is for you to at least admit it, that you That when I spoke, you didn't pay heed to it, so you didn't pay attention to my what is I said to myself, oh my God, oh my God. The very thing that you are supposed to everyday war, that is the spiritual warfare. The things that you are supposed to fight against in your heart to kill, you are actually putting it on an altar and you are telling other people to help you worship it. Because your heart is not the heart of a child. Of course, a child feels negative emotions too. Children feel rejection. Children feel unloved. Children feel abused. But you know the grace of it. Children heal. In fact, children heal better than adults. It's as we grew older that people began to talk about, oh, you have to heal from your childhood trauma. You know, it was in the 90s. I was reading some Dean Koontz books, and I noticed that the guy was always focusing on people with emotional issues, abuse, always double personality disorder, multiple personality disorder. So I was, because these things in the 80s, all the books I read, they were clear of these things. There was nothing like this. I began to realize that the psychiatrists, in a bid to validate their job, in a bid to validate that they are relevant to society, they began to define many normal things as issues. Somebody would go for a psychiatric session, and the person was healthy and fine. Just, oh, I just want to get the go. And then you hypnotize the person, you will plant ideas in the person's head, and then you use the ideas to write the whole book. When the guy was eventually discredited, and many of the works he did, he actually, because there's people that are subject to hypnosis, he actually took a young lady, hypnotized her, suggested to her that she was molested by her own father. The girl came out of the hypnosis and the girl believed it. He then was watching the girl as the girl will act in society and documenting it. So the girl will come in every week. The way the emotional outburst when the girl got home, how the father reacted, how the girl then went to the police station, how they arrested the father, how the girl, and he was doing practically an experiment with somebody's life. And the person's life was ruining. You know, it was the mother divorced the father, the daughter left, the other children were taken by the German social services, and this was documenting it. Because he was doing the social experiment. He didn't care that he was destroying lives. And then he wrote books. He used that girl as a subject. It was popular. Then eventually the girl came out of it. Girl became born again. The girl saw it. The girl, God opened her eyes to see what has been done to her. And then she sued him, and then it became a big issue eventually. But before you know it, when they begin to spread all these things, people will read them and then people begin to mirror them. The Bible already told us that when you read something, you begin to take the form of what you read. We all know this thing. Bible said the more we look at the Bible, the more like the words we are reading, the more like God will become. The same way, the more you read the Quran, the more like the words in the Quran you become. The same way, the more you read Ekanka, the more like the words of the book of Ekanka you become. What you read begins to reprogram your mind. And that's why we tell Christians, hey, stay away from certain books. I go, I have a liberal mind. You are going to become an adult in the wrong place. You are going to become an adult in the wrong place. It is very important that you remain a child in the place of your spiritual energy and synergy and strength. That you do not allow issues of life to take away the raw power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in you. One of the things the Lord taught me early, He said to me, He said, declutter. I had to go look for the meaning of the word. I wrote on that topic because as it was speaking to me, I was writing it down. This would be 2018, the clutter. He said, "See, I've given you light, but all the issues of life, they've covered the light. You cannot see clearly. You cannot think clearly. You cannot relate with people without bias because your mind is cluttered." He said, "Remove all these things from your heart, the clutter." He said, "If you remove all these things from your light, from your heart, you will shine. You will shine. Your light will come out by itself and shine. You wouldn't struggle to make it shine." I said, "Wow, that means I should remove all the unnecessary emotional baggage out, psychological baggage out, physical hindrances out. I should live a simple life. Not concern myself with food, drink, car, my mate are this, my mate are that, my mate have children. Don't concern myself with my I have a husband, I don't have a husband. I shouldn't concern myself with those things. I should just live like a child." He said, "Then you will see that your light will shine." It was a deliberate effort. I did it deliberately. I removed everything, even the one that was most obvious that if I remove these, people will say, "Ah, wow, people will protest." It is gone. It has to go. For my light to shine, I couldn't afford to have any form of darkness or spot of wrinkles or any such thing. I charge you to do the same. Declutter. Declutter. Allow your light to shine. Let this light come out of darkness. Call it forth by decluttering your space. Let go of issues. Forgive the person you ought to forgive. Forgive yourself. Do not refer to all the somebody did this, somebody did that. Don't, they are not good for you. If you have programmed that way, unprogram yourself. Unprogram yourself. Don't stay in the place where you cannot manifest the fullness of God. Don't stay in the place of hurt. Don't stay in the position of regret. If you have done something, it didn't work out, move on. Move on. Many of us actually think that people are judging us, looking at us. Nobody cares. It is your life. It is your journey. It is your life. It is your journey. It is your life. It is your journey. All your conscious choices that you are making today, they are going to lead you to where you are going tomorrow. For every moment of indecision, for every moment of hurt, every moment of staying in the wrong place, you are delaying your own journey. You intend to get there. You are meant to get there faster and quicker. But with this baggage, you are moving at a slow pace. Every time you see the tortoise, every time you see a snail, ask yourself why they cannot move quickly. It is because of the baggage that they are carrying. They didn't declutter. Look at them. Don't be like the tortoise. Don't be like the snail. You shouldn't have to carry the burden of the world on your back. You should become a child. You should learn to let the issues of life not becloud your judgment and take you away from the place of power and anointing that being a child affords you. The hand of the Lord is upon you. We're in our prayer month. A lot of great things are happening. Testimonies everywhere. In this month, your journey before, you will experience God like never before. You will outrun chariots. You will outrun those who have gone before you. You will win in all your endeavors, and you will possess the gate of your enemies. If anybody has done any enchantment, anything against you, against your thinking, it is broken. You are set free. You are set free. You are free indeed in your mind, in your body, in your soul, in every area. You become as Christ daily. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout,
Glory.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.